Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Luke 24. Luke 24, and a very familiar passage. If you have missionary conferences like you guys do often, it's a very missionary conference. But Luke 24, and let's look at verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for Fellowship Baptist Church and Brother Ennis, and Lord, just that vision, just that passion, just that call you gave him to come and start this church. And oh my, the souls that's been saved and missionaries that have been sent out around the world and pastors sent out around the world because of Dr. Ennis and the vision here of Fellowship Baptist Church. Lord, we thank you for the missionary zeal that they have. Take now and have your way in all that's done. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jesus here was talking to the Jews. Their home city was Jerusalem because they were Jews. But I believe if Paul was here today, he would say began in Clayton, North Carolina. I take it even a step farther than that, not just Clayton, but I would say began at home where your loved ones are at. Your family members, especially those that don't know Christ as your Savior, how closer to home could we really get than our very own family? And some, you know, God can use us so much to win them. To win them to the Lord, you don't have to learn a new foreign language. Do you know that? You already know their language. You don't have to learn the customs of a new country. You already know that. And I believe that's why Paul, well, Jesus here, said beginning in Jerusalem. And then don't begin in Jerusalem, but you begin in Jerusalem and then you go out there. Why? Because there are our sons and daughters, our brothers and sisters, our uncles and aunts out there that need that help out there. They need our help. And you know, we ought to reach out and win those that are dearest to us out there in that, because we know them and so clear to us. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you made that commitment to God yet? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I don't mean just your house, but then your extended family also out there, determined that you're going to serve the Lord. But, you know, sometimes it might be beyond or seemingly more than you can do as an individual. And even Jesus, when he sent the disciples out, how did he send them out? He sent them out two by two. And you know, when we become a Christian, and sometimes, you know, it's very good. Sometimes right here in this church, Christians, as we look around, we'll find those in the church that are hurting. They're hurting because they have a loved one out there that's addicted. What greater ministry could you do than come upside of that brother or that sister, that Christian brother or sister that's hurting, and say, you know, I'll help you pray for your loved one. I'll go with you to help you pray for that loved one. Just like Jesus sent them out two by two, I think you could really be a big support to those to go out and help them win their loved ones to the Lord. And after these things, over in Luke 10, and after these things, the Lord appointed over other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and the places wherever he would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest. Go your way, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. It might not be all smooth sailing out there. In other words, Jesus said, I'm sending you forth. And sometimes you might be like a lamb among the wolves out there, and they might try to devour you, and they might tell you to shut up with that gospel bit. I don't want to hear it no more. And probably some of you have already been there, and it hurts, don't it? It hurts when they tell us that. But yet God said, go forth. The harvest truly is plenteous out there. I mean, I have never seen anything destroy a country like drugs is destroying our country today, destroying our cities today. And I think it's one of the greatest ministries we as Americans we could have is to reach out. And if we don't win those addicts to the Lord out there, I'm here to tell you now, they are going to destroy your city. They're going to destroy your neighborhood. And not only do we want to win them because they're our loved ones, but yet it's for our own betterment also out there to do that. Over in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, that's the place to start at home, and into Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Yes, we are to begin at home, begin with our loved ones, but we don't end there. The gospel doesn't end until we took it to the far corners of the world. And then sometimes there are things we don't want to hear, you know. And sometimes that Macedonian call comes, you know. Paul wanted to go into Asia Minor. He wanted to go and preach the gospel in Asia Minor. But then that Macedonian call came, and in that call they said, come over and help us. There in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9, and a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia praying him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Like, who was that that testified about from Henderson? Who testified about Henderson there? You did. About you seeing the change in the people there that from Henderson that it came to the rescue mission, they turned their lives around. And as if you were sending out a Macedonian call, come, help, go into look. And you'd be surprised, Fellowship Baptist Church, you'd be surprised how many that are out there in your neighborhood as you live that life before them, that life of loving the Lord and serving the Lord, you'd be surprised how many is looking out the window and saying, you know, why don't they come over here and tell me about the Lord? Why don't they come over here and tell me about Christ? I see the joy that they have. I see the happiness in their family. And yet their families are torn all apart, and it's cussing and fighting at one another, and they have no peace. But they see the peace in your family. And sometimes I wonder if they're not sending out the Macedonian call to you. Why don't you come across the street and just tell us about the Lord? Tell us what's different in your life. Tell us what has changed your life. And then my wife and I, we received the Macedonian call back in July of this year. Again, we received it. And that is, there was a shelter in Henderson, North Carolina. And like she said, she's seen many come from Henderson to the rescue mission and get help. And there was a shelter in Henderson that closed their doors on June the 30th. And they called us and wanted us to come over and take over the mission and operate the mission in Henderson, North Carolina. It used to be the old Jubilee Hospital. It was a black hospital before the days of integration. And then when they closed the hospital, they made it into seven apartments. It became seven apartments, and yet they couldn't fund it. So now they've asked the Durham Rescue Mission to take it over, and we now have the old Jubilee Hospital building in Henderson. And we're looking at starting up there in January, trying to raise the funds. We have not raised the funds for it. We've got the building. The building is in the name of the Durham Rescue Mission. So we own the building, but we don't have the budget to operate it. So that's what we're praying for and trying to work up now is to do that. You say, is it going to be hard to operate two missions? God's called me to Macedonia, but he hadn't called me to leave Durham yet. So we're not leaving. Ladies, we're not leaving Durham, okay? We're staying there. But we're going to operate both missions at the same time. We've done that before. I started out at the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, worked there 5.5 years, then moved to Durham and started the Durham Rescue Mission. And then in 82, we received that Macedonian call again to go to Burlington, North Carolina. We had another one from Burlington to testify. Gave us a call to go to Burlington and start another rescue mission in Burlington. And so we did. We went up there and we started the Piedmont Rescue Mission. We operated both missions there for 10 years. And then God gave me a call to start a women's ministry. We didn't even have a women's ministry up until that time. And I really felt like that the Piedmont Rescue Mission was on its feet. It was self-supporting. And so what we did, we elected a new board of directors, pastors from that area to oversee the Piedmont Rescue Mission, the Burlington Rescue Mission, and we gave them their independence. And that's when we dropped back in to Durham full time and started the Durham Rescue Mission. So we've done this before, but it's a lot of mileage on the road, you know, back and forth. So be praying for us as we try to open up the rescue mission in Henderson. The unemployment rate up there is nearly 13%. It is a very poor community. The graduation rate from high schools is one of the worst in the whole state of North Carolina. So the poverty is there, and we know they need the Lord Jesus. And we don't need the Lord Jesus Christ because of how many, honey, how many has come from Henderson just this year? Over 30. We've had over 30 individuals that come from Henderson and check into the rescue mission. And so pray for us as we try to get that mission going up there. Isn't God good? Amen. God's good. So pray for us, and let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer now. I wonder, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder, we've talked about family members and those that are being addicted and those that are outside of the Lord now. How many would say, preacher, yes, I have a loved one that's addicted, or I have a loved one that needs the Lord Jesus Christ? And preach, I want you to help me pray for that loved one. Would you raise that hand? Yes, I see that. Yes, I see that. Are there others? Yes, over here, back over here. Preacher, help me pray for my loved one. They are addicted and they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me pray for that loved one. Just about every hand. I wonder, is there someone you say, preacher, to be honest with you, I don't even know if I am a Christian. If I died right now, preacher, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. I'm mixed up. I'm confused. And preacher, I want you to pray for me. Would you raise that hand? Raise it up, and yes, I see that hand. You may take it down. Is there another one? Say, preacher, to be honest with you, I don't even know if I'd go to heaven if I died. I want you to pray for me. Is there another? Raise it up and take it right back down, would you? Father, we thank you now for Fellowship Baptist Church. Lord, a real loving church, a caring church that has sent missionaries around the world. And Father, these caring people have needs within their own family of salvation for their loved ones. And Father, we pray that you would work in their hearts and lives and empower them. And Father, we pray that one church member would tag up with another church member and go two by two. And Lord, just pray for one another. And Father, we pray, save that loved one before it's everlasting too late. And then, Lord, for the one that raised their hand about not knowing about their salvation, not knowing they go to heaven, Father, we pray that they would come during the song and have somebody to pray with them. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Do you guys sing Rescue the Perishing here? I think that'd be a good song to sing for the invitation. Could we sing Rescue the Perishing? I don't mean to change gear. 377. This song was written by Fanny Crosby after visiting the rescue mission. And there she was able to lead many to the Lord during the times that she was there. And God really blessed. I want you to look at that first stanza there. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep over the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, they're mighty to be saved. That's the way it's done. Come. I tell you what, as we sing this song, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you don't know you go to heaven, why don't you come on that first stanza? Come on that first stanza. And then Christians, on that second stanza as we sing, why don't we just gather around this altar and let's pray for those loved ones, would you? On the first stanza, if you don't know Christ for sure, come. Would you? Pray.
For the dying,
would you come?
Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save.
look real close at that second stanza, isn't it so true of our loved ones out there? Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting a penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. That's our ministry. Go and plead with them.